Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Hello and greetings to everyone listening. I'm Jennifer Moss, and I'm excited today because it's time for another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. And I'll tell you why I'm super excited for this edition, and that's because front and center we have what in many places is like a household name, and that is the name, it's none other than Angie's List, and we have with us today the Angie's List co-founder and the person who it's named after, Angie Hicks. She is today's powerful woman. Angie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, we're excited. So, Angie, you are now the Chief Customer Officer of Angie Home Services. And prior to this role in September of 2017, you co-founded Angie's List back in 1995, serving as its Chief Marketing Officer for some time. We want to welcome you again. We are glad to have you here. I want to get the conversation started about how it all began. Now, most of us all know about Angie's List. I mentioned it's like a household name, but I know it didn't just appear out of thin air. Tell us how you got started, because one of the things I want to know, too, is, you know, I don't know how it's viewed, but sometimes people think home services, they think that's a man's game. How did Angie's List come to be?
Oh, for sure. So I actually ended up starting Angie's List right out of college. My co-founder was somebody who I had interned with while I was in college, actually. And he and his wife had renovated a house in Indianapolis using a service called Unified Neighbors that had been around since the early 70s. And it was a call-in service where you could find out which contractors were good and which ones worked, quite honestly. And Bill and his wife moved to Ohio from Indianapolis and bought a fixer-upper over there and were trying to hire contractors. And all of a sudden, they were like, there's not a Unified Neighbors everywhere. and he started looking around, and there really wasn't. And so he was like, how do you get stuff done around your house? And he needed a lot of work done on their house. So he reached out to me. I was in my senior year in college and said, hey, why don't, it's a crazy idea. Your parents are going to hate it. Totally irresponsible. but why don't you come move to Ohio and let's see if we can start our own version of Unified Neighbors over here. You know, he was always one to kind of undersell things, which I appreciated. I was incredibly risk averse, and the thought of, you know, I'd never dreamt of being an entrepreneur or starting a business. So I hem-hawed around about it for a long time, talked to my grandfather, who was super conservative, and, you know, he looked at me and he's like, Angie, what's the difference between being 22 and looking for a job and being 23 and looking for a job? Like, huh? If you're going to take this risk, take it now. I mean, there's nothing. So I decided to give it a chance. And so the day after I graduated from college, I packed up all my worldly possessions and my Ford Escort, and I moved to Columbus, Ohio to start what would become Angie's List. It actually started as Columbus Neighbors. And you're right. You know, I was a 22-year-old woman selling ads to contractors, resolving problems for consumers with contractors. It was a bit intimidating.
Absolutely. I bet that it was. And that's the thing, you know, it's funny, you left in your Ford Escort. That was kind of my first car when I left home, too. It's like, you just keep moving and keep going. You don't look back. Now, look at this. You're business savvy. You know, that, I know you have it now. You may have been green at 23, but that no doubt probably started back in business school, where I'm seeing that you got your Master of Business Administration from Harvard Business School, and you've won numerous awards along the way for your entrepreneurial achievements, as well as your leadership in both the community and the technology field. You were named the Woman Tech Founder of the Year in 2016, also received the Tech Point Trailblazer Award and the Harvard, going back home there, Business School's Alumni Achievement Award in 2017. You've got that list of accomplishments, but as you just mentioned, and many people know, many women who have, you know, desire to be an entrepreneur or to do some other things, I'm sure it was not an easy task. So what are some of the barriers? I mean, you were young, you're female, and you're starting on this big, what now is a tremendous, huge business. So what are some of the barriers that you may have had along the way?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, if you think about what I was actually trying to sell back then, and I had zero sales skills. You know, I was basically telling people, like, you know, hey, well, you can join Columbus Neighbors for $20 a year, And you can call me whenever you need a plumber, and I'm going to give you the name of a good plumber. It was not a straightforward sale. And on top of that, I was doing it door to door. We didn't have a sales model.
Oh, wow.
So I was going door to door. This very shy young woman was going door to door trying to sell these. And honestly, you know, I felt incredibly successful if I sold one or two memberships a day. One or two memberships a day.
Right.
You know, I think sometimes when people think about starting a business, they think about like they jump kind of lightning speed and forget what those kind of sometimes that year, first year, second year mm-hmm. can be like. And I think that's where people sometimes lose their faith in kind of starting their business is because it's super hard. And if you're not celebrating the little wins along the way, it can be very defeating. So I think that is one thing that I learned was just like, no, you need to be, you know, it's all about kind of making one sale before you go to bed that night.
But that's true because that keeps your hope alive. You know, you celebrate that one victory, maybe that two a day, you're really probably rolling then, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about, you know, where your perspective is. I mean, when we started the business, I mean, I was working alone, we knew how the business would actually operate. We had the luxury of seeing what the Unified Neighbors Business in Indianapolis was actually going to do, which I think was a huge leg up. So we understood kind of how it could evolve, which helped kind of shine the light out there. And it was a proven thing. So that was helpful. But, you know, having, you know, kind of celebrating those wins and then also having just a really good network of people that support you can be super lonely.
Absolutely. And that's key to have that group, that base, right?
Right. Having a good and making sure that they are, reach high kind of for who you want to surround you during that time, you know, whether it's people you've met in business, whether it's family, because you're going to need all that support. You're going to need people cheering you on.
Absolutely. So tell me this, Angie, what has it taken for you to find your own voice? All of these years behind you, having started out so young doing that and going door to door, what has it taken, to find your own voice, to own it? You know, be comfortable basically in your own skin.
Yeah. I think you just learn from your experiences. I mean, I know that sounds kind of, you know, not glamorous, but I think it's just more and more experiences. I find that that's what makes you kind of better at business. I've seen this problem before, you know, and I think kind of that seeing the same type of issues, solving them, learning how to solve them better the next time, recognizing when it's coming, mm-hmm. That just gives you confidence. And, you know, and that confidence is, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that evolves over time, but it's something that, makes you more successful in kind of running and leading a business because you just don't get, you don't, things don't shake you.
Absolutely.
Right. You know,
yeah.
I've seen this, you see something the first time and you're like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal. You see it the fifth time, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of know what I need to do here.
Yeah. You've been there before.
Time, you're like, oh yeah, this is how we're going to handle it.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That kind of just like just kind of rolls off your back at that point. So clearly by our podcast name, we're talking about powerful women, and you no doubt have had to lead in varying positions that you've held. So tell us, what are some of the leadership traits that you like to see, perhaps even as you help others learn about things that you're doing in home repairs? And you're not doing the repairs, but setting up that business model. What are some of the leadership traits do you like to see and in those that you work with or perhaps those that you mentor?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, you know, I'm a pretty, you know, I've been a pretty shy person. I'm an introvert, you know, so I wasn't that big charismatic leader that kind of rallies the crowd. You know, I was more of a person that was like, hey, let me lead by example. Let me do the work with you, you know, because in many ways, I'm a doer coach, right?
Right.
Which has worked well for me, you know, because I can teach people how to kind of go and I often find, especially when working with younger people, kind of going from being the doer to the leader is hard, like that transitioning. So kind of how you help teach people, helping to teach people to delegate and, you know, kind of make decisions. I mean, I have a pretty simple, you know, kind of rules that I, you know, give my team. I'm like, I'd rather you make the decision than ask for permission.
Mm-hmm.
But if it goes wrong, just make sure you tell me first, because it's a problem. It's that it's easier for us to solve it the sooner we know.
Absolutely. And don't let it just lag and stay out there too long.
Right. You're trying to fix it, cover it up. You're just like, then it's like, then I've got a big mess. I don't want a big mess. I want a little mess. And, you know, so how do you, you know, kind of don't be afraid to kind of take those jumps as you can.
And you say you're shy, you're an introvert. I know that I've seen a commercial with you on. Did you hate doing those commercials? Being out in the front, like as the person, you know, because at that point, everybody knows. There's like, okay, that's Angie. There she is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, you know, the marketing team came to me probably, I don't know what it was, 10 years into the business. And we're like, hey, look, Angie, you know, the biggest question we get is whether there's an Angie. And, you know, would you consider being in the commercials? And I was like, you know, again, I mean, I kind of, sometimes life has very decisions that seem inconsequential at the time,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really spending that much on marketing. It wasn't a big deal. I was like, fine, it'll be good for the business. I'll do the commercials. but then it took off and, you know, those commercials worked and all of a sudden you're right. I mean, it put me in a position where I was very much, you know, a public figure, which, you know, for me, you know, it was a time where like probably my private life became more private because I just became more protective of things. I had young kids at the time when we were kind of scaling in that. I just wanted to make sure that they felt, you know, kind of out of the limelight. So that was important for me, you know, but I honestly, by having that connection, I actually got to interact with our customers in a totally different way that most businesses don't get to.
So it became a fun thing. And I mean, it was something that you embraced versus
really neat of people like, yeah, of like how much, you know, kind of the business helped people. You know, like if you think about, when I think about the home, you know, it's, for most of us, it's our largest investment. It's, you know, it's where our family is. You know, it's, you know, when you think about taking care of it, it's something that's really meaningful to you, and to be able to help people do that is neat. And those are the kind of stories that I would hear over the years. And that's neat. And you know, as we were kind of figuring out what that campaign looked like, you know, one of the things that was important to me was like, this has to be 100% kind of who I am. Like we can't who I represent, who I appear to be on TV has to be who I am inherently, because I'm not, which I think is actually pretty important.
You want it to be genuine. You want it to be you, right?
You want it to be genuine. I'm not going to be a different person when you see me at the grocery store on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Right. It has to all coincide and come together, and then you're comfortable with it.
And then it's comfortable. That was my point. Then it's something that's comfortable. You're very much kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm on TV, but, you know, what you see is who I am, you know?
Absolutely. So, and I also should mention, I should have said this earlier, but you are under Angie's List and the grouping that you now have, because you've come a long way since you first began in 1995, Home Advisor is also under your umbrella. Is that correct?
That's right. So Home Advisor and Angie's List came together in 2017. We have several brands here in the U.S. that really tackle this home services challenge of trying to find a great pro. So we have Angie's List, Home Advisor, a company called Handy in New York, and then a company called Fixed Repair down in Texas. So we have a number of brands that operate in kind of helping consumers and pros connect to get great service.
Okay, wonderful. And so, again, another important question, one that we always like to inquire of others, and it gives us help and ideas. How do you do it all? I mean, because you've got kids, you said you have three children, teenagers. We know that's a busy time for all moms. Mm-hmm. So how do you mix it up? How do you handle and balance your work life, your family life, and the other things that are all in between?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the first thing is like, I don't believe in work-life balance because I think that is an aspiration that's unachievable. I believe in work-life choices. And I think it's important that you make them, you know, and I'll give you an example, you know, especially like, you know, when my kids were young, I was traveling a lot, but I would always make my trips as short as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be out on a 6 a.m. flight and I'd, you know, come back that same day because being home with the kids was super important to me. And if I wasn't traveling, you know, I was at home at 6 o'clock for dinner.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
You know, there were no exceptions. It was like we sit down as a family for dinner. But what was dinner? You know, maybe.
You had to give up something somewhere, right?
There was a lot of crock pot food.
And there's nothing wrong with that, right? All working moms know that. There's nothing wrong with that. And
right. It wasn't about what we were eating. It was about the time we were spending together.
Absolutely.
So I remind folks, because I've found this, especially, working moms that I've hired over the years, that, there's inherently this kind of tug that happens, and there's guilt. And I remember having a conversation with one woman, and she was just like, hey, she was just reentering the work field. And, she had a young daughter, and she's like, I want to be able to volunteer at her kindergarten class. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. Because I knew that giving her that flexibility during the day, was just going to make her perform better, right?
Absolutely. When people have things aligned in their world of things that they need to do, right. And we all know that draw to our children, if you have that opportunity, it makes everything else better. You work even harder, because you want all the pieces to fit.
Exactly. And I think right now, with the pandemic, I think a lot of people can kind of have maybe lost a little control of that work-life balance or that work-life choice. And I think it's important that we make sure we make time for ourselves, and, because we're being asked to do even a lot more now, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether we're still working, maybe working from home, which means, well, should I do the laundry while I'm working? And the kids are doing school from home too, right? Oh, so I need to help them with their homework during the day. I mean, there's a lot more things colliding.
It's actually double the work, when you're at home working and then the kids are home with school. It's a lot.
Right.
It's a lot. So tell me.
So don't forget about during this time period, because, I think at first when it seemed like, oh, this might be a short period of time. Well, we're months in now. And I think people need to make sure that they're kind of running at a sustainable pace.
That's good advice. That's a good word there. So with that and putting the family first and coordinating so you have time, do you have time also, though, for fun? What is it that you, what do you guys do for fun?
Yeah. I mean, we are a pet family. We've got several dogs. We've got, and we've got a few horses. So there's plenty of time spent kind of with our pets. We like to go boating. So there's a good mix of things. And I think it's important to make sure you build those in together. And, as I think about it, right now I've got teenagers, and kind of this time, we probably spent, more quality time together even over the last 6 months than we might have otherwise, based on having teenagers who would have been wanting to run their own direction.
Right. And that makes it all come together too. And that is a lot of fun. And then the kind of the follow up to that particular question, as we all look in, powerful women, it's like, we don't walk around with stern faces. What is it that makes you laugh? You say laughter is good for the soul.
Oh yeah. I mean, my kids probably make me laugh every day. So
right?
I love their stories. For sure. And I think the other thing, I've got a saying on my Twitter that says, take your work seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. And I also have a saying that I use around the office of, like, remember, we're not running the ER.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
keep these challenges in perspective. I get a ton of enjoyment. I mean, I think one of the things that I love the most is the people I work with and, spending time with them. So, even as I became more externally focused for the business, I mean, spending time walking the floor. I mean, I like to walk around, these are the things I miss. I try to figure out ways to do them. I hand out anniversary gifts to our employees.
Oh, wonderful.
For certain anniversaries. Yeah.
That's good.
So yesterday, because I couldn't do it in person, I popped into a Zoom meeting and surprised one of our folks that hit their 10-year anniversary. How are you kind of interacting with the people that are on your team and making sure that you're connecting in a way that's meaningful? Because I think in the end, that's what really matters.
You are absolutely right. And so I think you just accomplished with my last question was going to be, do you have a favorite saying or model that you use to encourage? And you kind of said one that was on your Twitter handle. What's that again?
Yeah.
Unless you have a different one that you want to share with us.
Seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously.
I love it. Is there another one that you have that you may pass along as you,
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know that I have another one like that. Yeah, I think one of the other things that I've done over the years too is, as the company was getting bigger, we're getting more employees. I think the saddest day was when I realized I didn't know everybody's name.
Ah, yes.
You know,
yes,
when you start a business, and you're like, all of a sudden, you're like,
and you're growing.
But I don't know everybody's name. It made me sad, and you know, kind of knowing everybody was super important to me. So I introduced office hours where anyone in the company could sign up for a 15-minute slot with me. I dedicated an hour a week to it.
Oh, good for you.
And talk about whatever. Whatever.
With all your employees, whoever registered got a chance to talk with you.
Whoever registered. Didn't matter what they wanted to talk about. So if they had a business idea they wanted to talk about, if they needed career advice, if they have a gripe, I don't care. Come talk to me. I'll fix it.
Wow. How cool is that? That is awesome. Well, Angie, you know, this has been so much fun talking with you today, talking to Angie Hicks, of course, co-founder of Angie's List. We surely wish you all the best and hoping you stay safe and healthy. And thanks so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
We've really enjoyed our conversation. And of course, a big thank you to all our listeners out there joining us for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by Women About Women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.